The World This Week, Politics.
After an 11-week total blockade, Israel announced that it would allow a minimal amount of food into Gaza under pressure from America. A small amount of aid has since entered the strip, but the UN said it was a drop in the ocean. Meanwhile, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, said the Israel Defense Forces would be taking control of all of Gaza. Israel ordered residents of Khan Yunis to evacuate as it prepared to unleash an unprecedented attack. Britain suspended talks on a trade deal with Israel and imposed new sanctions on Israeli settlers in the occupied West Bank. Britain, France and Canada told Israel they would take concrete actions if it continues an egregious expansion of military operations. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, said he was doubtful that talks with America would lead to a nuclear deal and that America had made outrageous demands about Iran's uranium enrichment. Marco Rubio, the American Secretary of State, warned that Syria could be weeks away from potential collapse and a full-scale civil war of epic proportions, and that its new leaders needed support. Cyril Ramaphosa, South Africa's president, went to the White House, where Donald Trump claimed falsely that white Afrikaner farmers were being targeted in a genocide. In front of TV cameras, Mr. Trump forced Mr. Ramaphosa and his entourage to watch a video that included incendiary comments from opposition black nationalists in South Africa. The scene was reminiscent of the treatment given to Volodymyr Zelensky when he visited the Oval Office in February. A gunman shot dead two Israelis who worked at Israel's embassy in Washington as they left an event at a Jewish museum. The suspect was taken into custody and shouted, "Free, free Palestine." Israel's ambassador said the victims, a man and a woman, were a couple who were about to get engaged. The FBI is considering whether to treat the killings as terrorism. Donald Trump went to Capitol Hill to persuade Republicans to vote for his One Big Beautiful Bill Act, a sweeping piece of tax and spending legislation. The bill would increase the federal deficit. Citing a decline in fiscal metrics, Moody's downgraded America's credit rating from AAA to AA1, meaning that for the first time, America does not hold a top-notch score from any of the three big credit rating agencies. Amid worries about America's growing debt, the yield on 30-year government bonds jumped to over 5%, the highest in 18 months, and stock markets and the dollar suffered too. America's Supreme Court allowed the Trump administration to end protections against deportation for 350,000 Venezuelans who have settled in the country under the Temporary Protected Status Program. The court is still open to appeals against the government in the matter. Britain's Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer achieved a reset in relations with the European Union at the first UK-EU summit since Brexit in 2020. The agreement highlighted defence, agri-food products, the movement of younger people and use of e-gates at airports. The deal was welcomed by many businesses and trade groups as it will reduce some trade frictions. But its detractors, notably the British fishing industry, worth less than 0.1% of British GDP, claimed it was a sellout. Public opinion has warmed to closer ties with the EU since Brexit. A phone call between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin that was supposed to press the Russians into peace talks with Ukraine amounted to no more than puffery. Mr. Putin kept to the status quo, repeating his insistence that Ukraine make concessions. Mr. Trump seemed to suggest he would not make any further effort to find peace and would leave Russia and Ukraine to it. The day before the phone call, Russia launched one of its biggest drone attacks of the war, which mostly targeted Kyiv. Ukraine and Russia recently held their first direct talks in 3 years. They lasted for just 2 hours. The first round of Poland's presidential elections saw Rafał Trzaskowski, the Liberal mayor of Warsaw, take 31% of the vote, followed closely by Karol Nawrocki, the candidate of the hard right, on 29.5%. Mr. Trzaskowski is backed by Donald Tusk, the prime minister. The closeness of the result was a surprise. Mr. Trzaskowski had a bigger lead in opinion polls. If he loses in a runoff on June 1st, it would complicate Mr. Tusk's efforts to pass reforming legislation. The current hard-right president, Andrzej Duda, has blocked some 24 bills. In Romania, a presidential election runoff was won by Nicușor Dan, the centrist mayor of Bucharest, who defeated George Simion, the hard-right nationalist candidate. In the first round, Mr. Simion had secured twice as many votes as Mr. Dan. But in its wake, Mr. Simion scared voters away with his hostility to NATO and Ukraine. The previous presidential election in December was cancelled amid claims of Russian interference. The centre-right government in Portugal was returned to power in a general election, though it again fell short of a majority. The hard-right Chega, or Enough Party, which campaigned on a platform of slashing illegal immigration, surged in the poll, coming only slightly behind the socialists in the tally of votes and equaling their seats in parliament. In Argentina, the Libertarian Party of President Javier Milei won the midterm election for the Buenos Aires city legislature. The leftist Peronists came second, and the centre-right PRO party came a humiliating third in its traditional stronghold. Markets cheered. Mr. Milei now looks better positioned politically ahead of national midterms in October. The Conservative Liberal National Coalition in Australia split, ending a pact that had lasted for decades. The coalition was last in government in 2022, suffering another defeat at a recent election. The Liberals, who dominated the pact, take most of their support from urban areas and will now be the sole party in opposition. The smaller National Party gets most of its support from rural areas. Japan's government, which has seen its approval ratings sink to record lows, was shaken by the resignation of the farming minister for claiming he has never had to buy rice because his supporters donate it to him. His comments sparked fury among voters who are having to fork out record prices for the staple food.